Prince Charles is a quite powerful person. I think the British royal family has immense power. And in the 1930s, under Edward VII, they used it for great evil. Edward VII is practically the principal organizer of World War I, creating the Triple Entente, the alliance system that made the war possible. And his proteges are the ones who made it inevitable, Sir Edward Grey and Admiral Jackie Fisher and Sir Winston Churchill, too. Later on in the 1930s, you could see there were deep Nazi and fascist sympathies in the royal family. That would be Edward VII, in this case Edward VIII, his son or his descendant, not his son. But then today, it looks different. It's all now ecological Malthusian. I think Malthus is one of the most pernicious doctrines known to man. Malthus is, of course, a plagiarist. He copied what he wrote from a Venetian original, Gian Maria Ortes, O-R-T-E-S, a defrocked clergyman, a kook, living in Venice in 1790. Ortes wrote that there was an insuperable carrying capacity limit for the planet of 3 billion people. Well, look around and see how absurd that is. And, of course, today the potential would be far greater than what we even see as a population. So
some people would argue there's 40,000 a day dying.
Yeah,
that's
are.
Why we're over the carrying
no,
capacity.
That's ridiculous. That is purely a matter of underdevelopment. That is the denial of modern science, modern technology, modern medicine, even water. How many people in the world don't have clean water? How many people don't have a home? How many people in the world don't have have a job? You get into the billions on each one of those. Remember, 3 billion people in the world live under $2 a day. And those are beaten up, battered dollars. That is a horrendous statistic. Half of everybody on less than $2 a day. The greatest condemnation of globalization. That is a world that cannot be stable. 40,000 people die as a result of malnutrition and starvation, and a few diseases like diarrhea that can be cured for pennies. That is a human tragedy. That is, frankly, what propels me from day to day, is the desire to do something about that figure, to get it down if I can, or keep it from growing, or do something to put a dent in that horrible number. Prince Charles doesn't care about that. Prince Charles is concerned with wildlife species. He's concerned, basically, with his own enjoyment. He sees himself as a connoisseur of nature, or a hunter, or whatever else he is. Prince Philip had expressed the point where the genocidal thinking of the 1930s comes together with the green or radical ecological position today is in the form of Prince Philip and his famous quote where he says if he had a chance to be reincarnated, he would like to come back as a deadly virus so that he could kill people and try to solve the question of world overpopulation. Well, there is no world overpopulation. Look at Canada, look at Siberia, look at the United States, look at Australia, all empty, Africa empty, 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 empty. Maybe it looks a little bit different from here, but most of the world is just empty. So this is an absurdity. But that's his view. Now, Charles expresses this, you know the famous quotes where he says, I talk to my plants. All right, I guess you can talk to your plants. And they answer me. Well, that's a serious matter if the plants are answering you. And I guess he seems to have gone, he's crossed the line into some kind of pagan religion. I don't know. You probably know more than I do. He seems to have embraced Druidism. And above all, he seems to be devoted to the notion of world deindustrialization. And the way I think he does this is simply through Al Gore. Al Gore is a racist. He is a scoundrel. He is somebody who ordered the bombing of Serbia in 1999. You can read about that in my book. Not even Clinton, but Gore gave the order, start bombing Serbia, one of the most colossal acts of vandalism in modern European history, blowing up the bridges on the Danube, stopping the most important river traffic in Europe for years, really. And that was essentially Gore. So I wonder what Prince Charles had to do with that. Gore's notion of global warming, I think, is not accurate. It's completely invalid. We do see a process of global warming, but I believe there is no evidence at all that this is created by human activity. I rather think it has to do, and now I'm speaking as a historian, right? I'm not a climate scientist, I wouldn't want to be. Meteorologist or astronomer or something else is a respectable thing. Climate science seems to be a specialty invented just to support these notions of global warming. Anyway, if you look at the variations we're having now, they are well within a 1,000-year historical range. They don't go outside what we've observed. And I'm thinking in particular of the medieval warm period, a time when, you know, you had wine growing very far north in England, wine growing in Greenland. And, of course, when Leif Erikson and Eric the Red and these people get to Newfoundland and Labrador, they call it Vineland because there are wine grapes growing everywhere. Well, you don't find that today, even now, with some warming going on. So I think there is no basis for the notion that it's man-made. The minimum comes in what is known as the Little Ice Age, which is about 1575 to 1625. It actually corresponds to the 30 Years' War. That's the Spurrer minimum, or Maunder minimum, and it extends, according to some counts, it extends into the years of Louis XIV, so later into the 17th century. That is a time of great cold. That is a time when the North Sea is filled with icebergs. It's a time when ice freezes up the mouths of the main rivers of northern Germany and Holland facing the North Sea. Lots and lots of ice. So if we look at the medieval warm period and the Little Ice Age, the Little Ice Age is the Spurrer to Maunder minimum. According to articles written in the 1970s, we should now be headed towards a very high maximum of sunspot activity, which would seem to correspond to a higher temperature on Earth, but also on other planets, because that's what you see. It's not just on Earth, but it's also in other parts of the solar system. So I think the hysteria about this is very much overdone. Gore, in particular, wants to turn it into another swindle. He wants to do cap-and-trade of carbon or impose a carbon tax. New forms of austerity, new forms of oppressive taxation. They will be billed as helping the planet. They won't help the planet. They will help the bankrupt dollar, the bankrupt pound. Northern Rock will be helped, but the average person will not be. If you are concerned about greenhouse gases, I think we can have a broad area of agreement. For example, that the use of a private automobile for commuting purposes is now 100 years old. It's absurd. It's obsolete. People in the United States are spending 2 weeks plus out of the year sitting in traffic jams, not just commuting, but standing still. It's 80 hours a year standing still in traffic jams. So why don't we phase out large numbers of gasoline-powered cars? And what I mean by that is, let's build magnetic levitation commuter railways to get these cars off the road. And that way, so if we could cut the number of car miles driven per year by one-third or one-half, that would be a tremendous contribution to what is called greenhouse gases. And I wouldn't be doing it for that reason. I'd be doing it because it's a waste of man hours, it causes high blood pressure, it causes heart attacks, ulcers, dyspepsia, you name it.
So anyway, what do you think motivates Prince Charles then?
Oligarchy. In other words, you can look back to the Greeks. The Greek oligarchs, the Spartans in particular, the cult of the Delphic Apollo, thought that the world was overpopulated at the time of the Trojan War. They actually, you can look in some ancient Greek writings, they'll say that the Trojan War was necessary because too many humans were oppressing the breast of Mother Earth, so they had to die. That is the oligarchical point of view. The oligarch always thinks there are too many people. The oligarch hates technology. He does not want technology to be applied because technology creates upward social mobility. As you're telling me, Prince Charles is on record deploring the idea that anybody thinks there should be upward social mobility. He sees a two-class system, elite, mass. That's, of course, horrendous from any human point of view. So that's it's a very old point of view to think that there are too many. Also, to try to think that the average person is more like an animal than a human being is another oligarchical trick, one of the oldest. Because that allows you then to say, we oligarchs are the upper class, we're the upper crust, we should have privileges, but these little people running around should not. And I think that's basically Prince Charles. Maurice Strong, one of his satellites, I would say, from Canada, has said at the Rio conference about 15 years ago that the goal of the ecological movement should be to collapse the industrialized societies. Well, if you collapse the industrialized societies, it won't help the planet, but you will have genocide, and I think everybody should oppose that. And these are fairly clear moral choices. In other words, we have to worry about people, the 40,000 who die every day. If you have any shred of a religious or Christian outlook, you would have to think about feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless.